like to begin reading tonight in verse 45. I wish to revisit a passage that I've preached in times past, and in light of what the Spirit has been doing in our church and what the Holy Ghost has been telling us, I really wish to revisit it. I really cannot remember if I preached the message here the last time that I shared it. It was about maybe 10 years ago that I remember sharing it. Was in Georgia at a camp meeting for just a brief moment. The Spirit moved that night, and I'm not sure I've ever really fully shared this message that I wish to share tonight. Chapter 6 and verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed that they had seen a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I wish to share a message tonight that I would like to title, Consider the Bread. Consider the Bread. Can you say amen to the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Brother Wood's done a wonderful thing. He's done it now a couple years for us during our Christmas banquet and our meal and fellowship together at Christmas. He has a particular book that is based on chronological order of events, and he reads the Christmas story by pulling from each one of the Gospels and placing them together to give an exact or as close an account as they can versus reading from one of the Gospels. And I'd like to do that tonight. This passage, this story, is recorded by three of the four Gospels. It's recorded by Matthew and Mark and John. It is not recorded by Luke. Luke completely omits it from his Gospel. And what is amazing that each one of these Gospels throw in something different that the others leave out. John will record that Peter will walk out onto the boat, out onto the water. The others do not. And same with each one of the other Gospels. There's certain lines or little phrases that really gripped them, that really stirred them, that they remembered. It isn't that one wished to leave something out of the story, but when John wrote it down, he remembered Peter getting out of the boat and going. That really stirred him, and he remembered. He wrote it down for us to get a bigger picture. What I'd like to do tonight is, I have taken between the three Gospels and I have placed this story in chronological order to the best that I can. I hope you don't crucify me if it ain't quite exactly 100% right. And without any just twisting of the Scripture or turning, just generally each passage in the order that it takes place, I'd like to read it to you. I'm not going to give you the verses. Just simply it'd be too stopping and going because they're so mixed up in order compared to the passages. But listen to this story if you would for a moment. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did. Now the miracle that it is referring to, Jesus has just fed the 5,000. He has taken the bread. He has blessed the bread. Now, I don't know. We oftentimes, it's something that really stuck out to me, and I want to interject it right here at the beginning of the message, that I never really got before in the study of this passage, is we often call it the miracle of the fish and the loaves, or the miracle of the bread and the fish. But to be honest with you, Jesus, nor these men ever refer to the fish. I don't know if you ever noticed that or caught that. He does multiply the fish, but when Jesus asked them, he says, does anyone have any loaves? When you read through the passage, there's a connection with the loaves and the fish just come along. And every one of the other Gospels referred directly to the breaking of the bread or this bread. And personally, as I looked at that, John, I believe, gives us a reason for that. Jesus does not mince words. He doesn't just haphazardly throw something together or perform something or do something just because it makes him feel good or because it's just the way life is or he's just going with the flow. He has a reason. There's a reason why Jesus Christ does everything. Now, here's our problem. We don't always want to see the result. Or we don't see the result. We're ignorant to the fact that what God has for us. How many of you have ever entered into a problem or had a situation and you really just couldn't figure out why you was there? You really just, man, why has this come? You're not questioning God. I'm not telling you that. You're not concerned. You just, where's this going to go? And then a little bit down the road, the Lord brings it all together and you can look back and say, man, was God ever preparing me? Man, was the Lord ever doing? I believe that's exactly what Jesus was doing with the 5,000. I believe He was meeting the needs of the people. I believe He was reaching out to the crowd. But immediately after this, the Lord will give us the wonderful parable, or not parable, but the story about His own character. He reveals something about Himself that has not been revealed. After the story of the loaves, Jesus will tell them, you have followed Me because of the loaves, and you need to have something besides the natural. He said, you need a spiritual bread. And He tells them, I am the bread of life. The Lord has given them a physical demonstration of substance in their own lives, and He will turn it all around to give them a spiritual application to let them know something. What you need is Me. What you need is Me. You can have manna or have bread that'll last a little while, but what you need to do is remember Me. Now, I'm going to get a little ahead of myself. I may say it several times, but I feel I need to do that to emphasize the importance of the message. Jesus will tell them, for they considered not the loaves. I tell you what they forgot to do was consider the bread of life. They had forgotten that Jesus was still on their side. Jesus was still there to meet the need. The bread was there. The power of God was still there. And then they get into a storm and they forgot all about Jesus Christ. How often do you and I get into a storm? And sometimes I'm not condemning Him because I've been there. I've been in their shoes. I've walked where they are. I had my mind a mile away. And Jesus was there all the time. I tell you, we are about to enter storms. The Holy Ghost has told you and I what is about to come in our lives and what has already come, and He reminded us that we need Him. I want to remind us tonight that you and I must consider the bread when we're in the storm. We have got to remember that Jesus is at our side. If we lose sight of that, we will be lost in the storm. Amen. The devil will overtake us if we're not careful. After Jesus, John records that after Jesus performs the miracle, it says this. When those men saw the miracle that Jesus had did, said, this is of truth, that this prophet should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone. And straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while He sent the people away. And when He had sent them away, He departed into the mountains to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, and He saw them toiling in their rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But He saw them walking upon the sea. They supposed that it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw Him and were troubled. And immediately He talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered and said unto Him, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. He caught him. He said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And immediately the ship was at the land where they went. And they were sore amazed beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. When you place the Gospels together, there are several wonderful points that jump out at you at this passage of Scripture. I wish to share about 12 things tonight. Praise God. Six simple problems that the disciples were facing, and six answers. Two simple points tonight broke up in 12 parts. The problem and the answer. The problem and the answer. Jesus has sent them away. They've got into the ship. And they've went out onto the sea. The first problem that I'd like to share tonight is that they were separated from the Master. The disciples get away. They have just encountered one of the greatest miracles that could ever be. Jesus making something out of nothing. He's already showed them His power of transformation from taking the water and transforming it into wine. Now He will take these little fish and just... Now, I don't know how all that happened. I don't know how it all took place, and neither do you. But all I know is I don't know if He just kept breaking and it kept growing, or it kept happening. I don't know if He did it and all of a sudden it was just baskets full. I don't know how it took place, but all I know is they fed all those folks. They're all sitting around. Jesus has done told them. He's told them. He says, what you got to do is feed them. And I mean, they looked up and said, man, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, Lord, there's at least 5,000 men, plus the women and children, at possibly 15, 20,000 people sitting across it. And Jesus looks at 12 men and says, feed them. I want you to know tonight, Brother Doug's right. They're out there and it looks like a multitude, but God's told you and I to feed them. What we need to do is feed them. What we need to do is prepare the way that men can receive the gospel of Christ. If Jesus says do it, then it's possible to be done. Yeah. And they've said, okay, Lord. And the Lord gives them how? Okay, set them down by 50s, by 100s, set them down, separate them. Let's get this thing organized. I'm glad that God's a master planner. He ain't haphazard. He isn't uncautious. He organizes it. He demonstrates a powerful move. These disciples need this training. It's going to come a day in just a little while that they're going to have all those thousands on the day of Pentecost to get saved. And they're going to have to know how to need to know how to do crowd control. The Lord is preparing them how to do crowd control. What to do with the masses. I want to know something. If you has had that crowd in a rock and roll band, you couldn't control them with an army. But when men love God and the presence of God comes in, men will obey. There's a difference between crowd control and God control. The man that is under the control of the Lord will willingly obey. Hallelujah. And the Lord sets them down, tells them what to do. They feed them. They collected 12 baskets full. They're wore out. They're tired. I don't know how big of an area it would take to house 20,000 people. To sit down. I'm talking you, man, we go out here, we had 135 out here on the holiday out here playing ball and stuff, and the place is full. I mean, you gotta multiply 20 times over. And man, I'm telling you, and they had to walk through every one of them. Not only did they do that and feed them, then he said, go collect it. They've been working, they're wore out, their feet are hurting, they've been carrying baskets, their backs are hurting, and they're tired, they're wore out. I'm telling you, there's times that you and I get out in the storm and we get wore out in the cause of Jesus, and we labor and our feet hurt, our back hurt, we've been so tired that we don't know how to pray, and it seems like Jesus is 1,000 miles away. There's a problem when we get separated from the Master.
Right.
You will fail in this race. You will never be able to stand in the storm when you spiritually separate yourself from Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
You'll get cold. We had some discussion in our men's meeting about what's happening in the world, and the world, the lure that the devil has on us. I'll tell you, when he has the greatest lure is when your mind's off of Jesus and on other things. When you've separated yourself and it seems like Jesus is in heaven, but I'm at the computer and I'm here and Jesus ain't around. I tell you, I need to remember that the bread of life's still there. He's still on the shore. He knows where we are. When you allow your mind to get away and you separate yourself and you put a gulf between you and God and you allow your mind to go away and separate it from God, that's what happened. Jesus is over there and now I'm in a storm. What am I going to do? I'm going under. But Jesus is still there.
Amen.
Scripture says they rolled about, we would say 25 or 30. They say 20 and 5 or 30 furlings. Well, I understand about 3.5 to 5 miles, depending on which scale you go by and what Bible you got. They're out in the ocean a great distance away from Jesus. Not only have they worked all day preparing the food and handing it out and collecting it up and walking in labor, now they've just rowed 5 miles out into sea. Not only out to sea, in a storm.
Yeah.
And they're tired. They come to a place, Jesus goes on to the next point, where Jesus sees them rowing and they're toiling. They are literally just out there going nowhere. You ever got in a boat, especially a small kayak or a canoe, and two people paddling two different directions? What happens to the boat? That's what it'll do. If you don't both paddle the right way, that thing ain't going straight. It's going in circles.
Right.
I'm telling you what they were doing. They were going in circles. They're wore out. They're tired. One's going this way. We got to hold. The other said, no, we got to go that way. And they're fighting all they can fight. They're 5 miles out to sea. Jesus is nowhere around. And they've got their mind off the bread.
Yeah.
I ain't condemning them, Brother Gordon, because there's been a lot of times when the waves were rolling and I was wore out. My body, my spirit, every fiber of my being was wore out. I just couldn't think. I've come to church. The presence of God was moving in a mighty way and I was building cabinets, working on cars or junk or something else I got to deal with. And I'm telling you that I was as far away from the Lord. All I was doing was rowing in circles. I'm thinking, God, where are you? There's Sister Knox shouting and I can't feel nothing. There's Brother Al praying and I'm a mile away. Have you ever been there? Be a little plain, a little slow tonight. That'd be all right. I'm telling you, we ain't seen nothing yet. God's trying to prepare us for storms that are coming our way. And you and I are going to be places where it feels that Jesus is miles away. And He's not there to help us. And it seems like we ain't got no friend, no brother. Everyone's against me. I ain't got nothing. John, you're rowing the wrong way. No, Peter, you are.
Come on.
Well, James, if you'd get in here a little bit, we might get somewhere. Now, I'm thinking that was going on that boat, Brother Doug. Man, they're tired. They're wore out. The grumpiest person I tell, when my mama used to look at me when I was a kid, and I ain't changed. She'd say, Emory, go to bed. You're tired. Because when I get tired, I get mean. I've really worked on that. I prayed about it, Brother Ross. I said, God, you got to help me. I got to the point and I'd look at him and say, I'm going to bed now. Because you're wore out. You get to a place that it seems like you've spent all you've got. You're expended for work, for whatever. You're short. I'm telling you, I know those men were short. I know they wasn't happy. They're scared. There's a storm blowing. And they don't know which way they're going. They can't find their ways. These are skilled shipmen. But yet they're out there toiling in the rowing. The seasoned Christians find themselves in the midst of a storm when Jesus doesn't seem to be present. When the devil is so near to us that even our brothers and sisters get on our nerves. Our children bug us, our wives bug us, the church bugs us, and even the world bugs us, and we hate everything and everybody. Oh, y'all for quiet. I've been there. That devil's done it to me. I don't even like myself. Wish I could just go to sleep, forget everything. There I stand in the midst of the storm and I'm saying, Jesus, help me. This is the problem. They're toiling. The devil's fighting. The wind's against him. The friends are against him. Now the wind's blowing against him. Even nature itself. I don't believe this is any coincidence. He is the prince and the power of the air. I believe the devil stood right there and watched Jesus break that bread. I believe he watched those men successfully perform the task that Jesus had gave them. And he said, okay. He ain't with them right now. They're not on the top of their game. Their bodies are expended. Their minds are expended. They don't know what. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get the wind to blowing. I'll get the wind to blowing and the waves are rolling. I'm telling you, the devil's out to get you and I. He wants to rip our church apart. He wants to rip our homes apart. We have a problem. We're in the midst of a storm. And we need Jesus.
Amen.
The devil wants to come in and tear our friendships apart. He wants to tear marriages apart. He wants to tear siblings apart. He wishes to destroy the church. The wind is blowing. Can you not feel it? Can you not look out at society? We've all testified what our jobs are like. And it's not going to get better. The love of many is going to wax worse and worse and worse. Sin is on its rampage and it's not getting better.
That's right.
Now I'm going to try to be delicate with this, what I'm about to say tonight. I'm going to try to let you, hope you can read between the lines. After our incidents with the sign and all that, I had another thing on WITN. My wife told me about it last night. And I want to tell you where we are. I'm telling you about the storm the devil's blowing. There was a lady, where was it at, Randy? The lady looking for the dog. I understand. It's locally, had to be somewhere close because it was on our local news broadcast. Her dog comes up missing. She goes around trying to find her dog, goes up, knocks on the door. She goes in and her neighbor's with the dog. They get all kinds of comments saying that people have the right to love whatever they want to love. They can have any kind of relationship they can have. If you open the door for same-sex marriages, let me go back up. If you open the door for divorce and allow men to have multiple partners, it opens the door for homosexuality. You have homosexuality, it opens the door for bestiality and for sodomy and for all kinds of incest and all kinds. It just opens it. And if they will allow one, it will make a door that all will be open. That's where we're headed. That's where we are here in Eastern North Carolina. The devil's blowing, the winds are there, and you need Jesus more than you've ever needed Him. There's a storm that's rocking us every side. Health is falling. The power of the world is trying to destroy you and I.
Right.
Help me, Lord. The wind is blowing, and it's not going to do anything but pick up. As I learned and I listened, what Sister Knox said is exactly what I tried to do. After Sunday, I went home. I wanted to rehearse in my mind what the Holy Ghost is telling us. I don't take it lightly, Brother John. It's life. It's life to us. We'll either adhere to it and live, or we'll deny it and it'll destroy us. He's told us the storms are coming, but He'll keep us. I was reminded when I went home and began to study for this message, I was reminded of the story. How Jesus said, I was with you. And that's what He told us, Brother John. But I'm telling you, they got their mind off the bread. They got their mind off of what Jesus did and Jesus Himself. And when you get your mind, all you've got is problem.
Right.
Fourth thing is that they was in the fourth watch of the night. Not only is the wind blowing, not only the waves are blowing, not only they don't like each other, not only are they a long distance away from the Lord, but it's dark.
Yeah.
3 o'clock in the morning. Now it's dark, the wind's blowing, it's raining, everything, the water's splashing. I don't even like the salt water. Hate, can't stand getting in my mouth. They're all soaking wet. You know they were. They're out there. They are miserable folks. I'm telling you, that's where the devil wants to keep us. It's miserable. He wants us to be uncomfortable. He wants us to be out of sync with society. I know it might seem hard, and I said it tonight when Sister Knox made the comment about not caring. I'm tired of caring what the devil thinks and what the world thinks and others think. If God says it's all right, I need to love it. I need to embrace it. The devil wishes to destroy us.
Right, amen.
Now that may seem hard and egotistical, but Brother Al, for that mess, I don't care anymore. I want to see God move.
Yes.
That makes sense? It's dark. I hate getting out of bed, being dark, and my wife moves something. It only results in one thing, hurt. Or forget that you put it there, I put it there. You can't see where you're going. The devil wants to keep us blind.
Right.
He doesn't want us to see where we're going.
Right.
He doesn't want the Holy Ghost to move, to give us light. We have prayed. I remember 7 years ago when I came to this church, we were praying then, saying, God, give us clear direction where we're going in America. Do you remember praying those prayers? Show us where we're going, send us. I remember Brother Woods many times saying, God, send us a prophet that'll tell us where we're headed and what we're doing. I want you to know God's been doing it. And I don't want to be blind. I'm not in the dark. Jesus is with us.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Fifth thing they did. There was a great body of water between them. Jesus is 5 miles that way. Not only is it a great distance, but it's not land. It's not walkable. They can't get anywhere, Brother Al, because they're already going in circles. They're wore out. They're rowing and not getting anywhere. And here's this great big old body of water. I remember when I was a kid, my daddy telling me we'd go hunting. He'd say, Em, he said, I want you to go over. I'll meet you over there on Uncle Adams' ridge. I'll see you there about 3 o'clock. Sister Judy, I'll head out through there. Now, mountain folk here might not try to keep you abreast what I'm talking about. Up there at Brother Woods' camp, big old deep valley, right underneath, right? The camp sits right on the hill, and right down there is a big old deep hollow. Well, Uncle Adams' is 3 hollows over. There's all these little hollows coming down into the main branch, the main hollow. Daddy said, I'll meet you over there. And I remember going, okay, yep, I'm going. I head down through the hollow. I get down to the bottom and I look over and there's 2 more ridges between me and Uncle Adam. And I'm going, man, it seemed like it was 2. And by the way, the crow fly wasn't about 150 yards, but up and down them mountains was about 3 miles. I ain't kidding. I said, Lord, how am I going to get there? Seems like that's going to take me forever. Daddy wanted me there in 45 minutes. I'm going to be late. You ever been somewhere and it just seems like there's an impossible mountain to cross? There's a great barrier between me and Jesus. It seems like I ain't never going to get there. It seems like it's unsurmountable, Brother Doug. It seems when you're right in the midst of that storm, when there's a brother that's against you or there's a problem, it seems like there's never going to be an end in sight. It seems, how can this ever turn out good? There was a man in Maryland who used to say that all the time. How'd that work out for you? Not too good. I'm telling you, that's what it looks like. How am I going to do this? How can I cross this barrier, Brother Bennett? I can't get there. You get down to pray and I'm telling you, there's an iron wall that I can't get around. There's something that's just keeping me from the presence of God. Here's where the disciples were. They're out there and there's 5 miles of sea between them and the Master. And they don't know which way to turn. The sixth thing, the problem they had, is here comes this Spirit walking out through there. Here comes Jesus walking on the water, and they look out, now they're hallucinating. They look out there, they see a ghost walking on the water. Can't be Jesus, Brother John. He's clear back there. He's 5 miles on shore. It's dark. How did he get out here? This is something they've never seen, Brother Mac. They ain't never seen no man walk on water. He's never had the power to go over the natural. Has never seen that. They look out there, they see a ghost, and here goes Jesus. Bible says, as if he would go right on by. He goes right on past him. I want you to know something. Jesus is a perfect gentleman.
Yes, he is.
He will never, 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 never force himself on you. I don't care how big your problem is. I don't care how insurmountable, how big a gulf is between you and him. All the problems, Jesus will never jump right in and say, okay, I'm going to fix it. Jesus never answers until they cry. Right. Whoa! There's a Spirit on the water. Whoa! What is this? I don't know how to help it. And Jesus yells, don't be afraid. It's me. There's times that you and I are in stages where Jesus is right there. We can't even see Him. His power is there and all He's waiting is for a cry. That's what happened in Israel. That's what happened through all the book of Judges. Over and over, Israel would sin and God had delivered. Then they'd sin and God delivered. But every one of those delivered and God heard from heaven. He tells Moses, I have heard of the cries of my children down in Egypt. I'll tell you what God wants you and I to do is cry out, here am I, Lord. I need deliverance. The devil wants to destroy me. The storm's raging. I need you. If you think Jesus is just going to show up and fix your problems without your cooperation, without your crying out to Him, without you praying and asking, He ain't going to do it. He's a perfect gentleman and He will not force Himself on you. He is right there waiting for that. Now I want you to think about something. Why would Jesus walk all that way on the water in the storm 3 o'clock in the morning to go by them? He knew where they were. Matter of fact, let's get to some of the results. Some of the answers to the problem. Let me read this first one. And he saw them toiling in their rowing. The first answer to some of these problems is this. Jesus seen them. Now listen, think about this. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's dark. He's 5 miles away. The wind is blowing. The waves are rolling. But yet the Bible says Jesus saw them from the land, toiling in their rowing. Jesus knows where we are.
Yes, He does.
Even if it seems that we're miles away and we're unreachable and unseeable, Jesus looked right through the storm. He looked right through the dark. He pierced through all the wind and the waves and He saw where they were. I want you to know we have an answer. We've got a problem and it's this. The storm's raging. The devil wants to destroy us, but Jesus sees us rowing.
Oh yeah.
I take comfort in the fact that I'm not alone. Now that may fear some people. But I'm glad, Brother John, when everything's, the bottom's falling out of it, and I don't have no one there, that Jesus knows where I'm at. I'm glad that when I need Jesus and He sees me, He's already pinpointed them, Brother Mac. He knows exactly where they are. He knows what they're doing. He knows what their problems are. And he gets right off of the land, comes right down off of the mountain. I just have vision. This is Emory's vision, you can envision however you want. He's went up the mountain to pray. When you get out there on those seashores, he's probably right up there, Brother Steve, on a high point overlooking the water. And he's looking out there and he pierces the darkness. And he sees them where they are. He knows their problem. He is not ignorant to the devices of the devil. He knows what the wind is doing. He knows what's blowing. And Jesus, in his great compassion, gets off of the mountain and walks down onto the water and walks right out to where they are. But yet John says that he would pass it by. Why? Because Jesus is waiting for them. He does the same thing when he goes into the house of Emmaus over in the book of Luke. He's invited to go into Emmaus' house, and when he gets there, the Bible says that he just went to pass on by. And Emmaus tells him, hey, won't you come eat with me? Come into my house. Why? Because Jesus is a gentleman. He will wait to be asked to come into your life. He will not overstep His bounds. Now, what does that mean for you and I? It means we've got an answer, but we need to pray. It means you and I need to cry out in the midst of this storm. Whatever's coming our way, I don't know what's going to happen now. Sit some time, Sister Angela. I look and think, what's going to happen next? Where are we going next? I'm telling you, the devil's already been working in fronts that I never dreamed he would do. God's already been answering and doing some things that he told us some years ago, and the Holy Ghost is coming. Wow, that blindsided me. I didn't expect it to come that way. I didn't expect the enemy to come there. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen from here out. And we're going to be like these disciples. We're going to be out there rowing, and we haven't considered the bread. We haven't remembered what Jesus has already done and who He is. You and I need to consider the bread. Second thing is Jesus walks on the water. I'm not going to belabor these points tonight. You thought I was going to take a long time with all these 12 points, didn't you? Jesus does the impossible. It's not possible to walk on water. You ever tried it? Has anyone ever tried it? Yes, I've tried it. I've tried it. Thank you, Brother Ross. I appreciate that. Has anybody else ever tried it? Who's pointing over there? Yeah. Take off running as fast as you can go, boy. Get on that rock. Get out there in West Virginia. A lot of the rocks is just pretty good and level. Take off, boy, all you can go and see how far you get. Don't work out too good. I'll tell you how far you get. The first step. Jesus does the impossible. Sometimes when we are in our problems and in our storms, it seems like there's no hope for us. There's no answer. Which way to go? But Jesus is the answer.
That's right.
He has already done it.
Yeah.
How can we not remember what He has done with us? What does the Scripture say? Stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. That we need to remember all the things that Jesus has done for us. That was their problem. That was the ultimate result. That is, as Brother Al often says, this is the bottom line. They didn't consider the loaves. They didn't remember the bread. They didn't remember the bread of life. They hadn't considered what Jesus had already done. He has already performed the impossible. How's the Scripture go? How does this old sayings go? What's impossible with man is possible with Him. We look at our surroundings and our storm and we see no end to it. We see no answer. But Jesus walks on water. The third answer is Jesus calls out to them and says, be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It is I. When I'm in the midst of a storm, I need those encouraging words. When I'm out there and the devil has just blindsided me. When Jesus is right there and I can't even see Him. He's right there. I can see the figure. It's right there. They saw Him. They could see Him. But they didn't say, oh, it's Jesus. But He's right there. In the physical standing right next to them. They see the figure walking. But they don't recognize Him. Why? Because their mind ain't on Jesus walking on the water. It's drowning. It's not making, it's being wore out. There's times we get our mind off of what Jesus has done, and I'm telling you, we are as guilty. But God is warning us through the Holy Ghost that storms are coming. I want to encourage you tonight, don't let your mind forget the bread. What we need to do is remember what Jesus has done, remember what He has told us that He's going to do, and He'll keep us. Listen for those words of encouragement. Listen up when Jesus will speak and tell you in a still small voice, it's me. Don't worry. You don't have to be afraid. I'm right here. You're going to need that voice. You're going to need one day. I know it ain't no jumping, shouting message tonight, but I'm telling you, in the near future, you're going to need to hear, I'm here. I'm still with you. I told you it was coming, but I'm still with you. I won't leave you. I'll be there in the midst of the storm. Peter gets out of the boat. He walks on the water. The fourth thing for the answer is this. Jesus reaches out the hand. When it seems like you're going under, I want you, what you have to do is reach up. Peter could have stopped right there and just said, okay, I'm done. But Jesus walks over to him, Brother John, and he reaches out his hand. Now, Peter had two choices. He could reach up and take it, or he could deny it.
Right. Amen.
You've got two choices. The Lord will reach the hand to you when you're in that storm.
Right.
When you're out there, He'll be there. That Spirit will be beckoning.
Amen.
He'll be calling. The answer's right there, but you got to reach up.
Yeah.
You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to fast. You're going to have to sing. When He's out there, when He's speaking to you, in the midst of your problem, you need to have an eye open. You need to have a spiritual ear to hear the voice. And you must be ready to reach up.
Right.
It's easy to sit down and do nothing. It's easy to stop and get the woe is me. I can't do it. Peter could have said, oh, Lord, I'm drowned. I'm going down. I'm going to die. And just sit down and drown. But he doesn't, Sister Angela. He reaches out for the hand of the Master.
Yes.
What you and I need to do is reach out. The answer is right there, but we got to get up. We can't stay in our seat of do nothing. We can't get down. Peter could have got in such of the molly grub that he'd have gave up and drowned right there in the sea. That would have been the end of it. That would have been the end of Peter's life. But Jesus is right there reaching out. And Peter takes him by the hand. He's there in the midst of the storm. But we got to reach for him. I can't stress it enough. You've got to consider the bread. Peter looks out there and he says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Jesus says, come. Come. I'm telling you, Jesus doesn't give him a 30-minute discourse on how he can tread water. He doesn't have to give him all the ins and the outs and all the scientific power and all the spiritual mumbo jumbo. All he says is come. Sometimes I think we got to have every kind of discourse about the Spirit. We got to know everything about it. We need to know the work and we need to know this. And all he's wanting to tell you is come. I'm right here. Come on out. Just believe you can do it. Get out of the boat. When the storm's raging, the safest place for Peter to be was in the boat, Brother John. It made no physical smart sense for the man to get out of the boat. But when Jesus says, get out of the boat, you get out of the boat. You don't ask why. Peter doesn't say, why, Lord? Tell me why. Explain it to me. Well, what did Habakkuk have to say about this? Tell me all the scientific, that Albert Einstein, they ain't even been born yet. Tell me all about it. How it's going to happen. I'm telling you, that's the way we treat God. Give me all the ins and the outs, and you're in the midst of a storm drowning. Are you goofy? All you got to do is reach out. Well, it's true anyhow. Sometimes we're standing there waiting for it. He doesn't even tell you, oh yeah, it's me, Peter. You know, I was out there. Peter, I just fed the 5,000. He doesn't give any, all the lectures of who he is even. Peter says, is it you, Lord? Yes. Then bid me to come. Come. That's it. Come on. I'm telling you, he's calling you and I. Come on. Get out of your seat when you feel the unction and we're in the power and the Spirit is there, even if it's not going real good. You want to make a service, get a little more excitable. Get in a dead dry service, kind of like the one we're having right now. And just jump out of your seat and start praising God. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
When it seems like nothing's moving and you get something down in your heart where the Spirit of God's pricking it and you just feel, man, I need to pray. Now, I don't know if you all have seen it, but I have on numerous occasions. People just get right up out of their seat. Preacher's preaching just like I am right now. Walk right to an altar and start praying. God, fill them with the Holy Ghost. What's wrong with that? When Jesus says, get out of the boat, get out of the boat, even though it don't make sense. Well, Brother Emery, that would be dumb. That would be quite rude. It would be disrupting to the preacher. Well, he ain't much of a preacher. Come on. I'm being plain tonight, but I'm just giving you some practical information about the storm. Jesus says it's here. Sometimes what we need to do is stop analyzing what God's telling us to do and just do it. Amen. Just obey Him because He said go, then go. If He says stay, you better stay. I was in it, you know, I'm going to give you a little practical thing tonight, but it's the truth, and you might tell me I'm crazy. Did you ever hear the story of Brother Messer running around the church? Yeah. There was a big old boy. They said he was just a mammoth of a man. Said the time he made that door about like our church, he said he made that lap to go around, the Holy Ghost said, stop. Brother Messer says, but God, I feel good, and he kept right on running. And he said, that big old boy opened that door. He said he slammed into her full steam. Bam! Hit the floor, said the church got quiet. Everybody looking, oh, Brother Messer, are you all right? Oh, he must have been in the flesh. He got up and he said, oh. He said, the Spirit of the Lord told me to stop, but I didn't stop. We was in here the other night. Man, the Spirit of God got to me when Brother Woods got to exhorting us. I felt it. Felt rabbit in my feet. Man, I just need to have some relief. Man, I took off and I got just about to that, about where I said, the Lord said stop. And when I did, I stopped. And Emily went, said, praise God. Because I'd have run her over. When the Spirit of the Lord speaks to us, we need to listen. Well, Brother Emily, that don't happen. I'm telling you, it does. God's right there waiting. It don't make sense. I don't care if it don't make sense. It didn't make sense that he's walking on the water, but he was. It didn't make sense for him to tell him to get out, but he did. Why? Because God wants to help us in our storm. We can sit right there and drown. We can let the devil keep on blowing. We can let him tell us all about it, and we'll drown. We won't make it. But God wants to bring us in and protect us. As soon as he gets on the boat, the wind dies right down. I'm telling you, when Jesus steps on the scene, the wind is going to quit blowing. Brother Gordon testified, I don't believe he'll mind me sharing it, for those that are seeking. It was a wonderful testimony. He told me, he says, you know, I've felt God so many times. I just didn't think it could get any better. We sat back there, he was glowing about like he is tonight. The presence of the Lord was hitting me. He said, Brother Henry, so I didn't think it could get any better. But he said it did. He said, I felt Him more tonight than I ever felt Him. He said, I felt His Spirit in a different way than I've ever felt. Why? Because when Jesus says, get out of the boat, you get out of the boat. And when He gets on board, the wind's going to go. The devil can't stay where the Master dwells. When Jesus comes on the scene, there'll be a calm that'll come over. And I tell you, it'll happen that way again and again and again. When you think you felt it all, there'll be a new power that'll reach down your soul and change you. It'll take you to a higher height over and over again. But we've got to strive to reach for that. You've got to realize it's there. You haven't made it all the way. You haven't felt all the glory of God. There's more for you and more for me, but we've got to allow Him to come in the boat. The final thing, as the Bible says, only recorded in one passage, one verse. The others don't record it this way. One of the Gospels says this, and when He gets on the boat immediately is where it's at. The other passage says, and they finished on crossing. Now, there's only a couple deductions that I could derive out of those conclusions. Is that one apostle was so caught up in the moment that it just, bam, it was over. You know, there they were. Or just the fact that the other ones, you know, they just didn't see it quite as extravagant as what the one apostle did. But I want you to know something. When you're in the midst of the storm, and when Jesus steps on the boat, there'll be a peace that'll come. It'll come. The calm will come. The devil's going to have to flee. I want you to know, these disciples, they had many more storms to face. This wasn't the end of their struggles. But I want you to know something. When Jesus got on the boat, they looked up at Him, and the Bible says they literally sat in awe and amazement. They sore wondered, the Bible says. How did this happen? Jesus tells them very plain, they didn't consider the miracle of the loaves. And then He gets off the boat, and He walks over, and John records it this way. He says that as they get onto the other side, they come into Capernaum. A couple of the passages talk about different lands, but it's literally all the same lands. If you wonder the difference between the different names of the towns where they're headed, one says it's Bethsaida, one says it's Capernaum. One says it's, if I'm pronouncing it right, Gennesaretha or something. Don't know why it's wrong. I know that's wrong. They're headed, what it is, it's almost like saying, I'm going to Washington in Beaufort. This is what it was. It's a little town. And then I'm going to go to First Street in Washington, in Beaufort. That's where they're headed. So there's, it's all, these stories that try to prove the Scripture wrong, they ain't going to do it. It's all headed to the same place. They're all getting to the same journey. When they get over there, the Bible says that there's already been boats that's come from Tiberias. They've done looked for the Master. They get over there. They row across the sea. Jesus, that was a safe journey for that old hypocritical crowd. Jesus done calmed the storm. The real disciples has already been through the storm. Jesus has calmed it. Now they got smooth travel. Ain't that oftentimes the way it seems? Seems like we've been rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing, and then we got to carry the boat. That's all right. What they needed was the bread of life, just like you and I do. When they come to the other side of the shore and they get over there, they say, Jesus, where'd you go? What happened to you? And the Bible says He turns around and He knows them. And He says, you have come looking for Me because I gave you food. Oh, Lord. But if you'll just give us a miracle, we just gave Him one. He's calmed the sea. He's fed them with nothing, with just a few fishes. He's done give them a sign they want more. And Jesus tells them, you're looking for physical food and what you need is the bread of life. And He tells them what it is. I am the bread of life. What we need to do is consider the bread. When the devil's trying to destroy us, and he will, he's coming like a mighty fortress. I'm telling you, he's coming. The Spirit has told us he's coming. And what you must do is you must be willing to get out of the boat. You must be willing to take the Master's hand. You must be willing to obey. When He calls, you need to hear Him. You need to look for Him. Even when you think it's not Him, I'm telling you, He'll be there.
Right.
He's right there. He's not away from your storm. He's in the midst of the storm. He is right there where we are. He sees you. I don't care what you think or what the devil is trying to tell you. Jesus is right there. You've got a problem and it's a storm. But I'm telling you, there's an answer and it's the bread of life. The Lord wants to be there, but you need to remember something. All those times where the power of God was moving. Because you're going to be in a storm where it just seems like you ain't felt God in 100 years. And I'm telling you, you have it. There's times and what you need is you need to bathe in it right now. You need to bask in the presence of the Holy Ghost. While God's moving, you need to get in. Because you're going to need it. If I knew I was getting ready to get into a journey and cross over a great big old vast desert, I'll tell you what I'd do. I would drink all I could drink. I'd get myself ready. You'd think Alice had 3, I'd have 5, huh? Because I'm getting ready. I'm telling you what you need to do is you need to drink it up. God's not just pouring out His blessings for nothing, Brother John. He's moving in our midst to get us ready and to get us prepared. Don't miss it. Don't miss what God's doing. He's calling, get out of the boat. I'm telling, get out of the boat. Because there's going to be a day when He's going to be there and that the storm is raging and you're going to need Him.
Right.
You're going to need to see and you're going to remember. And you're going to need to consider what Jesus has already done. Consider the bread. Thank you for indulging me tonight. Hope I made you think a little bit. The storm's coming. It's blowing. It's already, you can feel it. You can feel the winds of change. You can feel the change in America. You can see it. You can see it. It's almost lack of a better word, uncanny, how much that the Word of God is being fulfilled in front of us. It's just, it's amazing. Yes. To sit back and see it, to see how your family members change towards you, how the government is changing toward Christianity, and it's all flowing right along with the book. It's all happening. I believe it's Mark Bishop has a song out now. They're not looking for something. He's not looking for the sign. How's that go? He's looking for the... I don't remember how it goes now. He's not looking for the call anymore. He's looking for the coming of the sign. He's looking for Him. He's about to come. Let's stand. Hope I haven't killed you tonight. Been a little slow. But to be honest with you, I intended it that way. I wanted you to think. I wanted you to look and remember. You know what? Jesus has already been there for us. If you'll look back at all the times He's healed you, He's strengthened you, He's delivered you, He's brought you through. Our church has been through uphills and downhills, and you look back and you say, man, look what God has already done. That's what He told the disciples. Remember what I've done. And it's just the facts of life. Plain and simple. Storms are coming. I know I'm repeating myself. I mean to be repeating myself. I want you to get it. Consider the bread. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your power and Your Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word tonight. Lord, it's been a little simple tonight, but God, I pray that it will embed itself into the hearts of this people. I pray, Lord, that You will strengthen us, that You will remind us of what You're doing, that You're calling us to a higher calling. You are wanting us to be a spiritual oasis in this last hour. Master, we need You more now than we've ever needed You. We cannot make it. We cannot conquer this storm, Lord, if You're not with us. If You don't get in the boat, Lord, if You don't help us, God, we can't make it. If You don't call me, I can't do it. If You don't reach Your hand, God, I'll not be able to withstand in this hour. God, we have the victory because You're with us. God, the blood has been shed for us. God, let us never forget it. No matter what comes our way, Lord, let us remember what You're doing for us. Please help us in days to come. Show us where we're going. God, I give You honor tonight, God, that You are speaking to us. God, You're not leaving us in the dark. You're not showing us somewhere, Lord. You're bringing forward in You, Lord. You're showing us the storm, Lord. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You're preparing us, Lord, for what's coming our way. Lord, let us have more in You. God, we need You. We need You so much. God, I ask You to be with this church. Please help us in the storm. Please help us to see You, to see the need, God, of where we're headed. God, help us, Master. Lord, I pray that these words will ring throughout the next days. God, that they will consider the Lord. This church will remember this saying. They will consider what You have done. They will remember it. They will stir up their minds, Lord. They will bring it to refresh again of the times that You've moved. Lord, God, keep it in our minds all this week. God, that when we come in here Sunday, God, that our minds will be so saturated with the love of God and the memories, God, of what You're doing and want to do in our lives, Lord, that we'll know You and feel that power. Lord, please help us in days to come. God, I don't know what tomorrow holds, Lord, but I know You hold it. I know You're going to be with us, Lord, God, whatever comes our way. Strengthen us, Master. Strengthen us, Master. Thank You, Lord, for Your Spirit. Your goodness to us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.